Season 5. Had a wonderful letter from Kendra Wheat and Portland area, and just thanking us for our prayers, and I meant to bring it to read to you, but I'll let it sit on my table there, so I'll remember to bring that to you and share that letter with you at his request. Do you have any prayer requests or anything that you need to come up with? Dave, how's your sister doing tonight, too? Good. Other than not breathing, well, she's doing real good. Severe. Very good. All right. Well, let's be in prayer. Continual health improvement, plus maybe even coming under the influence of spiritual momentum. So let's be in prayer in that regard. Any other prayer requests or anything you made aware of? Okay, let's get ready for our looking into the text tonight, studying some things in Scripture, and orienting ourselves to these things. Again, as we've seen so many times, there's just so many things, and that different churches, different people, when they study Scripture, see what the Christian life is about. And all through the New Testament, the mystery doctrines, which I hope we get into tonight and in 1 Corinthians, deals with the issue of the spiritual love concept. Nothing is going to demand more of a Christian than to love as Christ loved, but nothing will accomplish the dynamics of what spiritual love accomplishes as demonstrated on the cross. And again, it's one of those types of things. This is not a theology that pulls for a yes answer or yes, I agree. It is a understanding that should characterize a Christian's life every day, and especially when we don't want to. Especially when it would be much easier to protect self than to and satisfy self, what I want, rather than to fulfill the plan of God and what God is doing in our lives. All right, let's prepare ourselves for the study of Scripture. Let's pray. Father, what a privilege it is to once again open your word, Father. And as we do so, we are reminded of a very important fact, and that is that so many Christian and non-Christian open up the Bible. And it has nothing to do, Father, with degrees of education and understanding of the languages, understanding of Greek and Hebrew. It is simply a matter, Heavenly Father, of allowing your Spirit to reveal and illuminate these things for us. They have no platform, Heavenly Father, except that your Spirit will teach us, cause us to understand and see. Pray it in Christ's name. Amen. I didn't get to say it before we read. Let me just share with you something. Letter up there. Got it from the pastor of the Church of God. I'm going to answer it. But it's a good letter because, again, it comes to right where you and I are, again, when we open up this Bible. His letter first appreciated the prayer pursuit and how appreciative he was of that writing. But great disturbance in his soul about Psalm 23. The work we did on the 23rd Psalm, Linda, you sent him the 23rd Psalm. And his great problem is, no scholar, and he's wrong there, but let's just go with his quote, probably Church of God scholar, but no scholar takes the 23rd Psalm dealing or referring to in any way Jesus Christ. And, you know, this is, you know, you sit down and it's the same thing with Psalm 22. It's the same thing with Isaiah 53. Are those verses referring to the coming Messiah? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Isaiah 53 referring to the coming Messiah or just to a king at that time and of Isaiah? And, there are multitudes. No. That is totally wrong to say Isaiah 53, Psalm 22, Psalm 23, and many other messianic psalms and messianic passages refer to the Messiah. Do I even pretend that I will be able to convince this man? Absolutely not. That is what the Holy Spirit has to do. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. And there will be those who will never see these things that to me, and I think to most of you, are clearly in the scriptures that way. I think this is one of the things that we talk about when we talk about different denominations and we talk about different movements and we talk about the whole Church of God movement, and I'm not familiar with their theology. I haven't even touched upon it since seminary and very briefly in there in church history. We didn't go into any great detail, so I'm not even all that familiar on their gospel, much less anything else, how they would approach scripture. These are decisions every person has to make, and that's why there are so many churches. Old country song is what makes the jukebox play. On the one hand, we do want the jukebox to play. We don't want so many different churches, but we have them. So when I say we don't want, we would like to have a little more like-mindedness in regard to these things. But this is what has characterized all through church history. And it comes down to how we see the scripture. Well, I think, to me, now there are a few things that to me are just so, they're without the areas of compromise in the gospel, salvation, and how we deal with the Spirit, these things. But these are the kinds of things I think spiritual love is all about. And when you deal with and you have to contend with, like here's a man who says, Psalm 23 cannot be the Messiah Jesus Christ. And, so, you know, I write back and say, stick it in your ear. No. Not in a second. Not in a second. Write back thinking I'm going to convince him. Not in a second. But answer him as we are studying here, in spiritual love, and I think it is the responsibility of any man that teaches to be able to support his position. And there's nothing wrong in somebody asking about a person's position. Does not mean they're going to accept it. But I certainly ought to be able to support my position and what I teach. So I have no problem with that. But this is what makes so many different denominations, and even within denominations, so many. You know, my heritage, as most people know, Southern Baptist, and there's just so many divisions of Southern Baptist. You know, there's Independent Southern Baptist Church, Independent Bible Baptist Church, and then there's, you know, somebody is going to come up with the name of a church that will take the whole front yard of our church to put the whole title of the church down, you know, Independent, Non-Denominational, Fundamental, you know, Non-Charismatic, Bible Church, you know, a whole bunch of stuff. And you get to the point where it really gets weird. And these type of things. But we ought to come to the understanding of how do we see Scripture. Is Jesus, this person, the Messiah, the Son of God, is he what all of the Old Testament's about anyway? And there are those, like this man, I don't know how far he would push it, but no, he's not in the 23rd Psalm. And he's not in Isaiah 53. And he's not in Psalm 22. And that's fine. But I'm not going to come down on a man and call him stupid or anything like that. That's the way he sees it. And this is why I think spiritual love becomes a great issue and a great value. One of the areas. And I think another area, just to make my point about spiritual love, let's say someone doesn't take just that attitude but wants to attack a person which he doesn't. So I'm not talking about him. Well, you know, those people are all wrong because they say Isaiah 53, Psalm 22, 23 refer to Jesus Christ. And boy, are they really, that's even a greater test of spiritual love. And rather than react back, you don't do that. And you've got to allow everyone in their own relationship with Christ. I love our Lord in John 6. I was reading John 6 the other night. But in John 6, and it's a multitudes left him in one day. And he turned to the disciples and said, "Do you want to go too?" It wasn't an anger statement. It was, "Here's your freedom. You can go too. I am the Messiah, and I say with my words that you have to eat of my flesh and drink of my blood if you want eternal life. And I'm not going to change that." And there's one of Peter's great moments. Peter said, "Hey, we've looked around," and I'm sure Peter had. I'm sure Peter had looked around. And we've looked around, and hey, where else would we go? You have the words of life. You are life. And so these are the things that we all have to do. And it's that kind of seeing of what the scriptures are and what the real issues are, like faith, spiritual life, grace, that causes a person to walk the way he walks and really doesn't care how everybody else does and what everybody else does or what anyone else does. And that's the real big difference. And is that kind of decision. But if you're not all that confident in it and this type of thing, then you want to walk with everyone, or at least with a lot of people. So let's continue our study in Ephesians. And we have studied verse 1, and we're in the midst of verse 2. And what we're looking at, we have a new commandment given to us. And why do I keep emphasizing this aspect? Let me tell you why. Because even last night, when we studied 1 John, it said, "You know me if you keep my commandments." And here again we come to the great issue. What are the commandments that he's talking about? All of the commandments in the Bible? All the imperatives of the New Testament? What commandments? And people, we're going to have a split on that. We're going to have those who say that is talking about the Ten Commandments. And be very adamant about it. There's going to be those who say, "No, it's even broader than that. It's all the commandments in the Bible." What are the commandments? And we have seen in our study in John 13 and 14 so far, we'll add 15 to it,
The commandments are that we believe, our faith, and love. These can be seen as commandments plural or commandments singular, because if you do faith, love is the great work of faith. But they can also be given as a plural of faith and love. And these are the commandments that are commanded. And if you do them, you complete and fulfill all righteousness, all commandments. They're all, and there are several passages that say this. If you do these, you do all that is required. You will do all that is required. And as we continue in our study in John 14, we'll see why this becomes so true. So we have a new commandment, and the new commandment is love. But not love in an abstract sense of everybody loving everybody, but that you love one another, that is, other believers, as I love you. I, Jesus Christ, love you, the born-again believer, as I love you. And that is the commandment. Now, what we're looking at is, if I want to obey this commandment, and again, that's why last night we looked at, we finished up with 1 John chapter 2, verse 4. There are those who claim to know, and they don't know God. They claim to know God, they don't know God. If you knew God, you keep His commandments. And later on it says, His commandments are faith and love. This is how we're going to know if someone loves knows God. You can have all of the doctrine you want. Do you know Him? And we will know if you know Him if you love as He loved. That's what the whole first epistle of John is about. So we have the commandment to love as Christ loved. And then we have studied the cause of this, and the cause of this is from the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, it leads to the filling of the Holy Spirit, and by the filling of the Holy Spirit, He pours this love into us. So the cause of this love. Now, how do I tap into that love, or into that power? How do I tap into that? What is the means of the Holy Spirit pouring that love into me, because I know that He does not always pour it into me? Why sometimes does He pour it in me and sometimes not pour it in me? What's the difference? Well, the means of this love is tapping into the work of the Holy Spirit, just as we tapped into the work of Christ, and that's by our faith. It's the only thing we can do. But you know and I know, there are a lot of people who would say, no, that's not it. You got to work. You got to do. So this is where I am in my ministry, in my understanding and seeing of what the great issues are. There is the cause and the means. Cause is the Holy Spirit. The means is our faith. Then we saw this is not, you don't become a zombie. You don't become a zombie when you're empowered by the Spirit and His love. There's a consciousness always going on with this. And our consciousness is an understanding of the mystery doctrine. And why do I emphasize that rather than just all of the things? Because Jesus Christ, as I love you, as I love Jesus Christ loves, that is the great mystery in human history. That is revealed and made known by the Holy Spirit. And now what we're looking at is the person of this love, and this becomes extremely important, and I'll tell you why. It becomes extremely important because love is not known abstractly. Love is known in a person. Love is known in a person, and in spiritual love, the person is Jesus Christ. So if we're going to fulfill this commandment, we can only do it with that person in us, and that happened by the baptism by Jesus Christ of the Holy Spirit, because by the baptism of Jesus Christ, putting the Holy Spirit in us, He is in us, and that's why we looked last week at John chapter 15, without me you can do nothing, and that means love is He loves. So let's continue now looking at the person of this love, the person whose love we are to duplicate. We are to duplicate the love of this person. Now let's take a look at the way that this person loves. And, you know, how would Jesus Christ love? How does He love? Well, let's take a look at the love of Jesus Christ. And it says, therefore be imitators of God. And we had a lot of fun with that, how that's what Satan tried to do. But he tried to do it in his own power and couldn't do it. And this is what we do in the power of the Spirit, not in our power, as beloved children. And walk in love. And we studied that phrase. And then we have the very beautiful and very important Greek adverb, kephos, just as, boom. People, that sets the door on all human concepts of love. It sets the door on all man's ideas about love. It sets the door on my love, integrity of love, and on and on and on. It sets the door on all of that. Because now it's extremely limited. Extremely limited. If you love one another as I love, it is very limited. And people, let me remind you again. This is why the world hates Jesus. Because he isolated himself from all of it. There's only one way to God the Father, through me. You can go to a party, you can go to some place, we've seen this in our study. You can talk about Muhammad or Buddha, you can talk about a lot of people. You mention the name Jesus and people get upset at the table, get uneasy, tense, some even angry. Why? Because this is only me. And that upsets people, upsets their arrogance. Only me. Nobody else, just me. Me. Jesus Christ. This is the only way to God the Father is through me. Rather than seeing how really beautiful this is, that God has given to us the way to Him very simply by faith in this one person, Jesus Christ. Now we come along with this ideal of love. You've got to love one another just as. Limited again. He set the standard. This is the way I've got to love my husband. This is the way I've got to love my wife. This is the way I've got to love that dirty rat who did me wrong. This is the way I've got to love. Not as I want to. Not my ideal of love. And most Christians insert their own ideal of love. Well, I love you, but love you from afar. I love you this. I love you that. I live and let live love. And on and on and on. And impersonal love. And on. Hiding behind sibilants. Hiding behind words. To hide. I'm not going to love like Christ. This isn't a love that walks away. This is a love that comes after us. This is a love that will sacrifice itself as we're seen. This is a love that will put self at great discomfort for the comfort of someone else. So let's take a look. Just as, and we took up some 7 points on the just as. Just as, Greek adverb, specifies. And this specifies just how we are to love. Point two, we studied how people have trouble with love because they disassociate love from a person, and you cannot do that. This love is knowable. It is not ineffable. It is a love that is knowable, but it is knowable in a person. Three, the adverb is used to introduce comparison. How does your love compare, people? And you can do this. How does your love compare? See, we're in our arrogance. What does arrogance say? I don't want my love compared with anybody. My love is special. Don't compare my love with, you know, your parents. Don't compare my love with your first husband. Don't compare my love with your third wife. Don't compare my love with this and that. My love is special. My love is unique. Well, our love isn't. Our love is not unique. We have to compare. We have to look. How does my love compare to his love? How does my love compare to everybody? I mean, how does my love for everybody compare to his love? How does my love line up to his love? So it is a comparison. And then we noted under point five, it's the manner in which Christ loved. And there we noted it's sacrificial and beneficial. A lot of people don't want their love imposed on people. There are a lot of people like that, even married people. I don't want you to impose on me. I don't want you to impose on my life. I don't want you to impose on my work. And this is by both men and women. I don't want you to impose on what I want to do here. I don't want you to impose. I love you, but I don't want love I don't want my love to impose, and I don't want your love to impose. And what we have here, this, to love as Christ love is going to impose on you. Christ is 33 years old and is going to die. That's imposing, people. To ask you to die is imposing. I mean, can we say that's the maximum imposing? I want you to die for me. What? I'm in the prime of my life. Maybe when I'm 80, I'll die for you. But not right now. I'm at the prime of everything. I've got everything going for me. I'm not going to impose myself. Then don't say that your love is Christ's love. My main thing here is that you don't deceive yourself. Thinking, well, I can do this and still be kind of like Ananias and Sapphira last night. I knew he was a great Christian, but I still get to hold some of the wealth that I told everybody I was giving to the Lord. Don't deceive yourself. Now, there's an arrogance that can come from that type of teaching. Okay, you know, I don't love as Christ loved, and I don't want to. And then say about that, at least you're verbalizing the true status of how horrible a position you're in. But there's nothing going to happen about that. Now, don't deceive yourself. If you want to love as Christ loved, then look at the way you love and compare it with Christ and see if it's imposing. Then we noted, very important in this whole thing, how this love comes, and this is worth just putting on here for your memory and your mind to bear in mind how did Jesus Christ love. Here's God the Father, and then God the Father through God the Holy Spirit to the humanity of Jesus Christ, and out from him came spiritual love. And so here we have God the Father who sent God the Holy Spirit, and here you are, and out of you comes the same spiritual love that came out of the person of Christ, and now he is in you, and you are in him because of the two baptisms that we studied. So we studied these things. Now let's pick up from there. Walk in love as just as Christ. Now, this is the one who sets the standard of love, and you don't follow what the world calls love, just as Christ. You don't use man's standard. We don't love as man loves. And it's so easy to slowly bring in the world's ideals about love, the world's ideal about a lot of things. Let me just get you ready for what's coming up in John 14:17. The world's ideal of love. The world's ideal of justice. The world's ideal of righteousness. The world's ideal of morality. The world's idea of a lot of different types of things that we have in society. People, this is what happens so often, and this is why a lot of people don't think they need the Holy Spirit. I understand love. I understand justice and righteousness and morality. I know right and wrong. Do you? If you do, then you don't need the Spirit of truth. You already got it. You got it like Adam and Eve at the tree of wisdom of the knowledge of good and evil. You don't need the tree of life. You don't need life giver, Holy Spirit. You don't need him. You got it all figured out. Well, then goodbye. And I'll see you in heaven. What we have to do is be able to stand back and say, no, I don't have this figured out. I don't have this figured out at all. I don't know this love. I want it flowing through me. Don't really know how love will act in every circumstance. But I want to. I desire to love as Christ loved. As Lewis Ferry Chaper said, that's all you need. So here is the world's love. Here is the world's ideal of justice. I know right and wrong. I know these things. Do you? Do you know what love is? Do you know what love is in every circumstance? This is why we need the power of God the Holy Spirit. So we are to love, and this is important, as Christ, not as the world, and this is very important. I don't know how the world would love. I don't know that the world would, the love of the world will forgive 70 times 7. I don't know if the love of the world will sacrifice even to the point of giving one's life. But this is the love that I have coming through me. And I'm not going to be judged by the world. This is why we don't judge each other, people. You're not judged, nor do you judge. Very important, over and over in Scripture. Why not? If I have the tree of knowledge of good and evil, if I know right and wrong, and if I know all of these things, and I've got everything figured out, why can't I judge you and tell you that you're a sucker? Forgiving that many times, loving that way, loving to a sacrificial point. We don't care how the world sees us. And I'll show you that as we go through our study because it becomes very important. So, we must know, in that sense, we must know how Christ loved. We must know the love of Christ. We must know how it affected us. We must be filled with the Spirit to love as Christ loved, because this is the word Christ, it is love. The love that Christ said was the love that came to him from the Holy Spirit. You have to be able to really relate. Hypostatic union, dear people. You've got to be able to relate the humanity of Christ from the deity of Christ. And he was totally dependent in his humanity on the person of God, the Holy Spirit. So we've got to know this love by knowing by the power of God, the Holy Spirit. We must, by means of faith, love as Christ loved, because it will come to us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay. Now, again, just to know this love of Christ and to experience this love of Christ, it's that old example that I like to use. You have to be affected. I know how his love affects me. I know how his love affected me. And therefore, that's how I know how love should affect. And what do I mean by that? The principle or a little illustration I like to use. Here is a parent. The parent has a child. Child grows up, becomes a parent, and has a child. And says to the spouse here, man or woman, says to the spouse, said, listen, I'm going to tell you one thing. We don't need to buy a lot of books. If we can love our child the way my parents loved me, if we can love our children that way, then we will have succeeded, because I know this love. I know this love when I failed. I know this love when I succeeded. I know this love when I was sick. I know this love over the long term. I know how this love affected me in all circumstances of my childhood. I have been affected by this love. And I know what that love is like. And if our love can affect our children as their love affected me, we will have succeeded. This is a great problem with a lot of people. I don't know. I don't know. And this is a sad state of a lot of people in our country. I don't know love. I don't know how love is supposed to affect you. I don't know how love is supposed to be. I don't know. I've never experienced that kind of love. But we all have experienced it at the cross. Now, maybe it was a very brief moment. But we've all experienced this love. I was totally undeserving. I was headed for condemnation. I was in the power of Satan. I was in the power of sin and in darkness. And this man came and died for me while I was a sinner and his enemy. This love I now know. And when I accepted him as Savior, I experienced the impact of that love. I know what that love did for me. Saved me from eternal condemnation. It took away my fear. Took away my fear of death. It took away so many things and all the things that we could talk about that it did. So we have experienced this love. So this love now is related to Christ, the Messiah, the one who is sent to us. Walk in love just as Christ also loved you. Now, the love is now demonstrated. And gave himself. This introduces the maximum illustration of how Christ loved. This is the maximum. Gave himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Now, I'm gonna develop some things here with you, but I wanna jump to that last phrase with you. So I don't want you to miss this. As a fragrant aroma. People, don't worry about how people judge you. Because your love is not to them, your love is to God the Father. A fragrant aroma to Him. I want you to understand something very clearly. That if you love as Christ loved, you will be laughed at. Somewhere in your life, you will look very foolish to love as Christ loves. Bank on it. Because the world thinks God is foolish, and the world thinks the death of Christ on the cross is foolish. He is foolish to die on a cross. And there will be those who will take advantage of your love, and that makes us very angry. That pricks the me. The me. You don't do that to me. Then you know that you weren't in spiritual love. Because it's when we get back and continue into our study of the various impacts and effects of love, love bears all things. But the human love can't bear for you to laugh at it and take advantage of it. After the way I love you, after what I've done for you, after this and after that, and that's the way you treat me, that's what you do to my love, become very angry. Because we're very, very jealous of our own love. We're very proud of our own love. And we don't want it shunned, abused. Let me ask you something. Have you ever shunned and abused his love for you? You bet you have, if you're honest. Every time you sin. And yet, what does his love do? His love is ready to forgive and cleanse. Is your love ready to do that? Yeah, but you don't know what you're asking. I'm asking for your life. That's what I'm asking for. It's what God's asking for. But it's toward him. If you make this love between you and another believer, people, you're going to get lost in this thing. It's a fragrant aroma. Look what it says. A fragrant to God, a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. When you love, now how did Christ love? Let's take a look. Here's Jesus Christ. How did Christ love? He loved sacrificially and beneficially. But people, not only is this a sacrifice to self, this is an aroma to God the Father. This is something to God the Father. Whether man ever takes advantage of it, man is benefited by the love. Whether man ever takes advantage of the benefit is not the issue. But man, every man, even every unbeliever is benefited by the love of Christ because Christ died for them and bore their sins. Now, whether or not you take advantage of that benefit is up to you. How do you take advantage of it? By faith in Christ. But what I want you to see is this sacrifice is to God the Father. It's an aroma. And when you love as Christ loved, this is a dimension we haven't dealt with enough, but when you love as Christ loved, it is an aroma to God the Father. Don't get your eyes on yourself. Don't get your eyes on the person. Don't get your eyes all caught up in that. Look how many people on planet Earth through the history of man have rejected Jesus as their Savior. Christ becoming Messiah in the Old Testament and Jesus Christ in the New. People, millions have rejected him. Now, does that take away from the great fragrance of that love to God the Father? Not one bit. And this is very important for what's coming up in John 14, where it says, those who love me, the Father and I will reveal ourselves to them. Very important verses coming up and very confusing to a lot of people. What is going on in Scripture? So here we have something very important going on. This is a fragrant aroma to God. It is your relationship with God. People, my whole relationship with another believer, your whole relationship with another believer is a relationship with God the Father. This is what's first. But if you hate people, angry people, they deserve your anger, they've done you wrong, and life just hasn't treated you right in this deal, and on and on and on, then you don't love as Christ loves. And you got your focus in the wrong direction. Okay, but let's go into this thing. And gave himself, as Christ loved, gave himself, maximum illustration, that he gave himself. And this is how we know love, that Christ gave himself. This is the passage that we studied in John 3:16, where we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us. And we spent some time looking at those kind of verses before and studying those things before. I won't take time tonight to turn to it. I'd like to. but walk in love as Christ also loved you. So here we have to imitate this love. We have to duplicate this love. Now, this is what's beautiful. Where does a woman, in a marital relationship, where does a woman learn? What does a woman learn about love? What does she learn? A woman learns about love from the man that she's married to. He sets the standard of what love is and what love isn't. And so by the way that he loves her, she responds in that kind of love. Now what we have in our passage is, in our relationship with our groom, Jesus Christ set the standard of how we are to love. See, here's how Jesus Christ loved, and here's how we are to love in response to how he loved. We learn how to love from the way that Christ loved. And sometimes you hear men complain about the way that their wife loved. And I realize there will be exceptions, but I like to ask the question, how do you love her? Does she learn about love from the way that you love her? This becomes crucial. This is the man's responsibility. I know there's a lot of good things about some modern stuff that's going on and modern movements and a few good things, but they really mess up the whole procedure by trying to make this big dichotomy between men and women. It just isn't there. The beautiful arrangement that God has set up, and that if man would learn that we set the standard in a marriage by the manner in which we love, as our groom set the standard on how to love, and we respond to that love, and we love as he loved. That's what it means, Jesus Christ himself. Now it says, giving of himself, just as Christ, the new commandment is Christ also loved you, and here we have his giving himself, and I want to finish this verse, an offering and a sacrifice to God. And walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us. That's the prepositional phrase, for us. And an offering and a sacrifice. An offering offered in the place of the human race. A sacrifice offered to propitiate God the Father. I'm not going to take a long time tonight to go through the distinction between offering, sacrifice, but just getting your understanding, an offering offered in the place of the human race, a sacrifice offered to propitiate the righteousness and justice of God. So the first thing we have is an offering. Now remember, where does this come from? This comes from this whole judicial concept. Remember, we are in a judicial trial of human history, resolving the ancient warfare between God and Satan before man ever came on the scene. And what we have is a death penalty. We have a death penalty leveled against all members of the human race after Satan came into the garden. That triangle we studied, God and Satan and man, and Satan came into the garden and brought about death. And so this is this condemnation. And Satan sinned. There's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing anybody can do about it. They're condemned. They're under judgment. There's no righteousness. They're impure. They're unclean. Nobody can make them clean. And, there is the love of God sending his son. So here is the death penalty. Now, the offering is the idea that you and I are under the condemnation, just like, let's say that there is capital punishment and you are up for capital punishment. It is your place to die. You are to die there. But the problem is you can't even pay that penalty because you're already dead. You're already dead. You can't even pay the death penalty. A way to look at it, it's a little difficult in the concept of the spiritual realm, but if it were a monetary type thing, they sentence you owe $1,000 and you don't have $1,000, somebody comes up and gives $1,000. That's wonderful. This is even more crucial than that. You owe spiritual death and you can't even pay that because you're already dead. So here is an offering, like if somebody came up and said, I will take your place on that chair. Now that illustration breaks down because we can't even get on the chair. I mean, we are in a hopeless situation, people. This is what's so and about the work of Christ on the cross and what happened on the cross. We can't even pay the penalty, but with that ideal in mind, they're getting ready to strap you in. and somebody comes along and says, no, I'll do it. I'll take your place. Well, this is the offering. This is the offering. Now, that takes care of one problem. Now, another problem that has to be taken care of is the satisfaction of the righteousness and justice of God. Let me go and show you offering and sacrifice. Two concepts. Here's God and creates man. They're in perfect harmony with each other. This is man in the garden, also the way Job starts out. Here's Satan. Satan is jealous. He comes into the garden, breaks it with sin. That results in death. Okay. Now, then man becomes under Satan's dominion. Okay. One, righteousness and justice of God now has to be propitiated because we are antagonistic to it and we have no righteousness in ourselves. Secondly, we are under the penalty of sin, so therefore the wages of sin is death, but we are already spiritually dead. We can't even pay that. So now what has to happen, this has to be taken care of. That comes under the word offering. I'm going to be an offering and take their place and pay that penalty. But this also has to be satisfied. The judicial aspect of it, the righteousness and justice of God have to be satisfied. So what is the sacrifice? The sacrifice is to satisfy the righteousness and justice of God. So look at the passage. It says, an offering and a sacrifice to God the Father. So we are to love, and he is an offering, he is a sacrifice at the price of his love, and was to die for us. And he is also a sacrifice that is pleasing to God. Now, let's take a look at the last phrase. The last phrase here says, as a fragrant aroma. Now, this becomes very important. As a fragrant aroma. This is what your love must be. And you can almost look at your love and see, is my love a fragrant aroma to God? Is the way that I love? And I don't care who you are. I don't care if it's your husband. I don't care if it's your wife. A believer in your family, and I stand with believers because the new commandment, the direction of it, believers, work, the assembly, the local church, the local assembly, your social life, wherever it is, here you are, and the love that flows towards you, is it pleasing? Is it a fragrant aroma to God? Is the way that you love that person? See, because if you love, first of all, on the positive side, you will do no wrong. You, in other words, there will be no sin against another person. You will not do another person wrong. You will not do the husband wrong, the wife wrong, the family wrong, at work or local church, social life, in life itself, grocery store, wherever you are in life. You will not do them wrong if you are in spiritual love. Spiritual love cannot do wrong. It cannot do wrong. It will not do wrong. So therefore, is your love a fragrant aroma to God? We're back to our relationship with God the Father. Remember that Christianity is a relationship with God the Father made possible by Jesus Christ. Our objective is our relationship with God the Father. And because we're getting ready to start the book of Revelation, here's what we have. God the Father, he has revealed to man through the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ then makes it possible for us to have a relationship with God the Father. He came and revealed to us God the Father. The book of Revelation is a book that is going to reveal Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ revealed God the Father. The book of Revelation is going to reveal Jesus Christ. We haven't had Jesus Christ revealed. We've had God the Father made known to us. We've had the love of the Father made known to us. We've had a lot about the Father. Now, as history closes down, we're going to have the revelation of the one who's going to take Satan's place from the prehistoric battle, Lucifer, who was the great priest between angel and God. He's going to be replaced, and God is going to unveil who's going to take his place. And if you understand that in that aspect, not only, people, is it this eternal, elusive, eternal lake of fire that's out here, waiting for Satan, it's something even more humiliating than that, and that's going to be the revealing of the one that's going to take his place. that's going to be even more horrifying. You got here, Satan. You got to watch. Here is the revealing of the one that's going to take your place, and then we're going to have you cast into the lake of fire. This is what waits him. This is why he's got to do everything he can to stop this, stop the revealing of the one that's going to take his place. And we've already been told angels, fallen angels that follow him, they're going to be very upset, to say the least. And the statements made by the angels to Satan, when this all comes reality, is just we have an idea of some of the things that they're saying. All right, let me give you a few points of summary. Not a few points of summary, and then we can close here. All right, I redid my notes, so let me just find what I want to do for the summary with you. Where I put it. Okay, point one. The magnitude of his love. Remember, is where I'm coming from, so you'll be able to follow where I'm coming from. There are some people that weren't here throughout various parts of our study. Spiritual love is given to us in Scripture as a spiritual force. And as a force, it has the three qualities of a force. It has magnitude, which is the measurability of love. It has direction, because all force has direction. And it has an impact or an effect, as force does. Okay, point one, the magnitude of this love. He gave himself. He gave himself up for us. Now, if you're not willing to be that, then don't say that you love as Christ loved. Christ's love is not held within. It is given. He gave himself. It is a force. It is a very powerful force that is given. Two, the manner. The manner of his love is that he gave it out of his own free will, graciously. The manner of his love is grace, not earned or deserved. The magnitude, he gave himself. Are you willing to do that? The manner of his love, is that it is freely given. He was not made to do it. He gave his love to those who did not deserve it. Three, the price of his love or the cost of his love was himself. The price or cost of his love was himself. Are you willing to give that? People, love is going to cost you. And again, I like to point out that's not generally the way we like to think about love. When we humanly say, I want to fall in love and get married, we don't have the idea that I've got to sacrifice. If we did, we probably wouldn't get married. That's not what's emphasized. What you have to realize is, if you are going to love, it is going to cost. If you are going to love as Christ loved, it's going to cost. People, that is the fundamental reason why so many marriages in America and so many people in America, probably the world, let's do our country right now, have trouble in marriage. Because they do not understand love's going to cost. You've got to sacrifice. We want a 50-50 marriage today. The woman wants 50% of the marriage and the man wants 50%, on and on, all of this stuff. No, love for the man and the woman is going to cost. If you're not willing to, then don't say you love as Christ loved. Marriage is going to cost the man and the woman. This isn't just a woman thing, it's a man. It's going to cost him. It's going to cost her. It costs Christ's love. Think about it. This is not preaching. This is right where you live. It's going to cost you. Yeah, but I would really like to have a boat. I would really like to have this. I would really like to have that. John Hinch and Judy, pastor there in Tucson, came to my house and a couple of years ago and with children.
And one of them came and said, we sat down and we were talking, nobody else was there. And, boy, you know, we could have all these things, got all the sound system, and you got this, and you got that, and on and on and on. And I said, yeah, but I don't have three great little children. And this particular child looked at him and said, see, your parents loved you. And they can't afford you and all this. And they would much rather have you. He was some cost. Now, that's a financial illustration, which really breaks down in the life illustration. It's been imposed on your time. Women today, I don't want to be just a mother because that deprives me of what I really could be in the world. Excuse me? Being a mother isn't being really something in the world? No. I want to be. I want to do. In other words, I want to make my identification in the curse of the man. What? I mean, because that's all that, when we try to find our identity in the realm of the world, I hope you all realize the only reason men work is part of the lousy curse. The reason women give birth to children and men don't, it's the curse. And the reason men work, traditionally through all history, go back to Genesis, it's the curse. Now, if you want to find, you want to have your identity in two curses, go ahead. Now, I'm not talking about those who have to work. Don't get hypersensitive on me. I'm talking about the principle. It costs. I could have been this if I'd have not had you, meaning your children. I could have been this if I'd have not had you, meaning your husband or wife. It's going to cost. If you don't want love to cost imposed on you people, then don't say that you love as Christ loves. Because let me tell you something. Those are frivolous examples compared to loving as Christ loves. What it'll cost you in the spiritual realm that will have its influence on the material world, physical world. Not even to be compared. I just use that to try to get your mind in that level of thinking. It cost him his life. So please understand that. And decide, do I want to love as Christ loves? Or really, do I not want to love as Christ loves? So there's a cost of his love. He had to give himself the price of his love, an offering of sacrifice to God. Point four, the direction of his love for us. The direction of his love in our passage for us. Love always has a direction. The direction of love is always important. Don't ever underestimate the direction of love. I always like to use again the human realm to emphasize the spiritual. You have a man, and we'll pick on the man right now. You have a man, and he says, this is, I love you. And then tomorrow night, he says to another woman, I love you. And then the third night, and the third woman, I love you. His love is multidirectional. In an area we don't want it to be. So, love's direction is very important. Very important. And the direction of the new commandment is that we love one another. Other born-again believers, which is a tough thing to do because we expect so much out of them. Five, the effect of love. The effect of love, the impact of love, a fragrant aroma to God. Is your love a fragrant aroma to God? People, what does this mean? When Jesus Christ demonstrated his love on the cross, and no one accepts it, is it less a fragrant aroma to God? Is it? No. No. See, what we do with human love, I want my love responded to. And if my love is not responded to, we become very angry. We want to control by love. Have you ever said or seen in TV or movies, I love you! That means you ought to fall down and just do what I want. But we want to control people. But I love you. Therefore, you ought to do what I said. Sorry. That's not spiritual love. Is your love a fragrant aroma to God? I didn't ask you. Does it get you what you want? I didn't ask you. Is the impact or the effect always going to be what you want it to be? No. People, there are a multitude of people for whom our Savior died that will never believe in him as their Savior.
and be separated from him for all eternity. Does that take away the fragrant aroma to God the Father of this love? No. His love is still a fragrant aroma to God the Father. You don't look at what people are doing in response to your spiritual love and trying to control. What do I want my love to do? I want my love to be a fragrant aroma to God. That's what I want. Now, it may not get you what you want. It may not get you your desire. It didn't always get Christ his desire that all would believe on him. But he left. And his love was a fragrant aroma. This is what spiritual love is. And this is why it's very tough. It is the ultimate demand of my relationship with God. Not my relationship with people. Now, hopefully they will respond and believe in Jesus Christ. That's what I want them to do. Maybe they will respond and come into the plan of God as if it's a believer. But that's not the point. Love doesn't speak its own. I'll show you these things. We're going to have a lot of fun as we continue after we get up to point five, where love does not act unbecoming. We've got so many wonderful things. We've not finished. And they're very, very important. They're the areas that a lot of people are very vague in. But love isn't there for itself. If your love is there for yourself, it's not spiritual love. It's a fragrant aroma of God. That's what it is. You and God. Closing the word of prayer. Father, how grateful we are for the person of Jesus Christ. Is our example of love. And we desire, Father, to imitate that love. How grateful we are for the person of the Holy Spirit whom you have given to us, that the very same love that flowed through the person of Jesus Christ will flow through us. And will be a fragrant aroma to you. It may hurt, and we may not get our way, and it may seem very fruitless, until we always remember that the direction of this love is a fragrance to you. We praise you, Heavenly Father, for the God that you are, in your Son's precious name. Amen.